tonight, what God has kind of given me to give to you all is this idea of the names of God. And throughout Scripture, we see God's name given in multiple different ways. And names are so important in God's Word. In a few weeks ago, I was given the opportunity to teach Danny's Sunday school class. And in that class, we're going through the book of Daniel. And part of that lesson for the middle schoolers was to go through some of those names, such as Daniel's name and the names of Azariah and Mishael and Hananiah, and to just give the meaning of those names. And it always sticks out to me, especially of Ezekiel and Daniel, that God uses some of these names of the prophets and some of the names of the other people of Israel to depict the mood or the time of the generation they're living in, what's happening to them, and happening to the nation of Israel. For instance, Daniel's name is God is Judge. Ezekiel's name is God Strengthens. And what was happening to the nation of Judah at that time? God was judging them. He sent them into captivity for their sins. They're captive to Babylon. God's showing his judgment. On the same note, Ezekiel was preaching to the common people, like I know you all know, and his name is God Strengthens. In Isaiah, God prophesied that he will purge the nation of Judah, that he'll strengthen that nation through that purging, right? Through that judgment, he'll strengthen them. And Ezekiel's name is God Strengthens. So God gives these names, and it goes along with Jeremiah. He talks about appointing Jeremiah in the womb to be a preacher, to be a prophet of God. He knew this. He put it on the parents' hearts to name them Daniel and Ezekiel, knowing that they'll become great prophets of God, knowing they'll write books that we are able to read in God's word, inspired by God, knowing that we can look at their names and see that what God's doing to the people. It's so beautiful to me. And throughout the Bible, we see different names for God. In fact, according to this book written by Lee Ann Rupsim, it's entitled simply The Names of God, there are over 650 names of God in the King James Version. 650 names. And each name of God, it stands out. It's remarkable in and of itself. Each name gives us a glimpse into his character and helps us understand who he is. So to me, part of studying the Word of God is to study who he is. Part of studying who he is studying what his names are and the names he gives us. It sheds so much light into who he is and what he does. So tonight we're going to look at all 650 names. Now, if we had the time, I'm sure we would, but I don't think we have time to look at all 650. So we'll look at just a few of those. Let's pray, and then we'll get into God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us to open your word and to look at it, Lord, allowing us to have this opportunity, Lord, to read your word. It's a blessing, my God. I ask that you'd guide us as we look through some of your names, Lord, the names you've given us to see and read. Help us understand it a bit more. Help us understand a bit more of you, Lord, and your character. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The first name we're given in our whole Bible is God. And the Hebrew name behind God is Elohim. So the name Elohim simply does just mean God or creator, specifically the creator or God. But that word Elohim, it's plural. It's a plural word for the Hebrew word El. And that El word, or El, simply means strong one. But it's remarkable to see that God uses this word Elohim and it's plural, meaning that he's not a singular God. It depicts the Holy Trinity, right? There's three gods in one. And oftentimes, Elohim is backed with other pronouns or adjectives that are either plural or singular to show that he is that he is also one God, but he's three gods in one. It backs that up. And I think that's just, it's beautiful. It perfectly and accurately depicts the God, the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It perfectly and accurately depicts that. If you want to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we can see an example of that display of the Elohim, our Elohim God, in a plural. So verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God said, let's make man in our image. Well, obviously, as I know you guys know, who's the our? It's that Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those three persons of God in one, Elohim. Another major word, or another major name for God is Jehovah or Yahweh. If you want to turn to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, we can see an example of that. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. And obviously here we have Moses, who's being called to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And this is the first time God gives us a personal name of himself. And so in verse 14, Moses is speaking to God, and Moses asks God, who are you? What's your name? And God says to him, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. As you guys know, that word, that name, I am that I am, or I am, is Jehovah or Yahweh. God gave us a personal name for himself. In fact, this name was so holy to the Jewish people, they wouldn't, the name Yahweh was so holy to the Jewish people, they wouldn't utter it. They didn't want to dare speak it in caution that they didn't want to break one of those Ten Commandments, thou shalt not use thy God's name in vain, right? They didn't want to risk breaking that commandment. So they used an abbreviation, YWVH, I believe is the abbreviation. And they used that instead of Yahweh. They didn't want to say it, right? It's so holy, it's a perfect name for God, and it really is perfect. I am that I am. It shows and it displays a fundamental nature of God. He is, he was, and he will be. He always was. He was never created. He simply existed. It also shows and helps us, I believe, to understand what Romans 11:33 says. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable in his judgments and his ways past finding out. To say I am Jehovah, right? So to say Jehovah, that I am that I am, how can we even begin to understand what that is? How can God begin to explain that to us, right? Our minds are too little to understand, to even begin to understand who God is. So for God to give that name perfectly shows who he is. If that makes sense, right? It's beyond understanding. And we're going to be in heaven, and I love Amazing Grace, and that third verse, I believe, being there for 10,000 years, right? I just let that thought to me. And we're able to be with God for 10,000 years and eternity on. And we're able to search out his wisdom, search out the knowledge of God. We're able to search out his personality and his being and to begin to understand the name Jehovah. Begin to understand who I am is. It's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful name for God. In fact, so this is one of the most common names for God used in the King James Bible. And it is typically translated Lord with capital L-O-R-D. So every time in your King James Bible you see the name Lord with all capitals, that is for Jehovah. It is used 6,800 times in our King James Bible. That's how impressive it is. That's how impressive our God is, our Jehovah God. Another major name for God used in our Bible is Adonai. Adonai simply means master. And we can see an example of that in Deuteronomy 10:17 and Psalm 8:1. So if you want to find Deuteronomy 10:17, and also Psalm 8:1. Deuteronomy 17 and Psalm 8:1. So Deuteronomy 17 says, "For the Lord your God is God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh rewards." Right there in the middle of verse 17, it says, "The Lord of lords." That's, in other words, to say, Master of masters. And you flip over to Psalm 8:1. "O Lord, our Lord." So we have, "O Jehovah, our master, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens?" All these names, perfect for God. That's why they're in here. That's why God gave us these names. God is our master. And like the word Elohim, it's plural to depict that Holy Trinity again, that God is three persons in one. And often it is used to backed by other adjectives and pronouns to display that Trinity. And this word master, I think it accurately shows and displays God's mastery over all creation, over us. He is the master of masters. There's no master above him. Everything else is below him. I think that makes a very strong argument for why we need to be submitted to God. If God's our master, we have to be submitted to him. Like a servant submitted to their master, we ought to be submitted to God. Or as a citizen is submitted to their king or president, we ought to be submitted to our king, our master, our Lord God. And that would bring us to other names for God. So some other names for God aren't used as often, but they're used more than most. One of those names is El Elyon. You can turn to Genesis 14, verse 18. Genesis 14, verse 18. So here in Genesis chapter 14, we have Abraham just fought this war, and here comes Melchizedek, king of Salem, and Abraham's entreating with him. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, so verse 18 says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. El Elyon means the Most High God. Or literally translated, it means the strongest, strong one. This name of God shows a glimpse of his power and sovereignty over all. God's so sovereign that Melchizedek felt the need to tithe to him, that Abraham felt the need to tithe to this Most High God. It also shows that there's no other God higher than him. There's no other being living that's higher than God. God is the highest. To him, we owe all allegiance and respect. We owe all love, and we ought to serve him. It's another great example, a great name for why we should be submitted to God. If God's our Most High God, we should be submitted to that high God. If you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 14. We'll start at verse 10. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 10. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan desired, and of all the names of God in the Bible, this is the name Satan chose to use of God, to be like the Most High, El Elyon, to be like El Elyon. I want to have all his power. I want to have all of his heights. I want to be above everything else. I want to be above creation, above everything that God made. I want that. And it's interesting to me that Satan chose and desired that. Of all Satan's lusts, he desired to be like the Most High, to be El Elyon. He didn't want to be Jehovah. He didn't want to be God our Savior. He didn't want to be Elohim. He wanted to be El Elyon. It shows, and that in and of itself shows the power behind God, behind that name, right? El Elyon, the Most High God. It shows who God is. He's above all. He's above us. No one's above him. Another name for God is El Roy. If you want to turn to Genesis 16:13. Here in Genesis 16, we have Abraham's wife, Hagar, and her son Ishmael. There was strife between Hagar and Sarah inside the camp of Abraham. Abraham, after a decision of Sarah, decided to kick Ishmael and Hagar out. And we have Hagar weeping in the wilderness. And in verse 13, we pick up here, and she says, and it says, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, I also here looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. El Roy, which means God who sees, or the strong one who sees. In this moment, God saw her servant Hagar weeping and crying in anguish and in pain. And God saw her suffering, and he answered her. He came down to her to comfort her. This is encouraging because we can know God sees us. He's constantly watching over us. He's constantly looking at us. He sees our pain and suffering. He sees the tears we shed. He sees the joy we display. He sees when we praise him and honor him. This shows that God is always watching us. But in that encouragement, in that blessing that is that God's always looking out for us, always watching over us, is something to fear. Proverbs 15:3, I won't turn there, but most of you know it. It says that God sees the good and the evil. God knows our hearts. He sees our good and he sees our evil. That's something to fear. When the judgment day comes, there's going to be an account of our good and of our evil, and God's going to see all of it, and he's going to display all of it to us. Another name for God is El Shaddai. You can turn to Genesis 17:1. Genesis 17:1. For most of you, it's just on the same page. Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Obviously, here we have God, in earlier chapters, God promised Abram we call the seed of promise, his son Isaac. He promised that he would be a father of many nations. He would be a father of a great nation, of multitudes of people, millions of people. But Abraham, earlier known as Abram, could not see it. He's 99 years old. Him and his wife are elderly. She's past the age to bear children. But yet they doubted God, and God came to him with an answer. I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Which obviously, like I just said, Almighty God. Or it can literally mean the breasted one. This in all these passages, whenever God uses these names, it perfectly shows who he is. Almighty. Is there anything I cannot do? That's basically what he's saying to Abraham. I'm the Almighty God. What can't I do? You're 99 years old. Your wife is old. And I'm still going to give you a son. And that son's going to become the father of many nations. And you'll be the father of that father of many nations. I am the Almighty God. This shows God's almighty power. It also shows his providing nature. If you have a God that can do anything, he can provide you anything. And to me, in my mind, when I hear the name breasted one, it makes me think of two things. One, a mother who is nursing her child, tending to the child's need, providing for the child's needs, sustenance, and also a strong father. Often I think of a father or man has a strong chest, who's able to lift more, who's able to carry more burdens, who's able to protect and provide protection for his family, for his children. And that's what God's doing for Abraham. He's providing for him a child, providing for him as he wanders about from camp to camp. He's taking care of his needs. It shows God's perfect love to us and his providing love to us. Another name for God is Jehovah Jireh. Turn to Genesis 22:14. Obviously, I'm in Genesis a lot because this is the first time these names are mentioned in the Bible, which our pastor often says to us, it's important to look at the first time something's used or mentioned or named or of that nature. So Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. Let's start at verse 9, actually. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar. And there laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Here we obviously have Abraham going to the mount and offering Isaac, his only son, as a sacrifice, just as God told him to do, just as God commanded. And before Abraham was going to go slay his son, the angel of the Lord, which, by the way, I believe is a Christophany, an appearance of Christ before he manifested in flesh, right? And he came to Abraham and told him to stop. Now I know you fear me. Now I know you're willing to obey me. And he provided Abraham with an alternative sacrifice, or a propitiation, an alternative sacrifice for Isaac. To save Isaac from death, he gave him a sacrifice. And we all know this is a perfect picture of Christ and what he did for us. God loved us so much, he gave us his only son, just like Abraham was going to do. He gave us his only son and offered him on the cross to die for our sins, to bring us salvation. So we have this name, Jehovah Jireh, which means Lord, the Lord will provide, or Jehovah will provide. But differently from El Shammai, the Almighty God, that shows his providing needs in his name, Almighty, it's specifically talking about the way he can provide salvation for us. It's his provision. Not only will he provide our physical needs, food, water, shelter, anything that we might need physically or spiritually, but specifically spiritually. Specifically, his providing need for our salvation. That's Jehovah Jireh, our providing God. Another name for God is Jehovah Rapha. Exodus 15:26. You can turn to Exodus 15:26. Here we have Moses just leading the nation of Israel of Egypt across the Red Sea, and they're murmuring to God or to Moses, saying that they have no water to drink and they're going to die. And it would have been better for them to stay in Egypt than to come out this way of Moses. And have Moses speaking to God in verse 26 and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, and I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Jehovah Rapha, it means the Lord our healer. God can heal. God is El Elyon, the Most High God. He's El Shaddai, the Almighty God. He's Jehovah Jireh, our providing Lord. And he's also Jehovah Rapha, our healing God. If we have an almighty God who's the Most High God, who's capable of all things, he can heal us. He's our healing God. Not only of our physical needs, if we have a physical ailment, he's capable of healing that if it's in his will to do so. But beyond that, he has the capability and offers us spiritual healing. Spiritual healing from our sinful nature at salvation. Spiritual healing when we're saved and we need to be cleansed of our sins to be brought back to God. He's able to heal us. Jehovah Rapha. Some other names of God that we won't go through tonight, but I'll give to you is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. El Olam, the everlasting God. And El Gabor, the mighty God. All these names are used frequently throughout our Bible. And they all show us some sort of characteristic or some sort of nature of God. And it's beautiful. It's perfect. And it helps us understand who our God is. So when we do study our word, my encouragement to you is to look at these names, understand them, understand the meaning behind them, and in doing that, we'll understand a little bit more of who God is. The last names I want to look at, and the last point I have, which we'll conclude with, is God our Savior. Our Savior's name is Jesus in the Latin, or Joshua. In Isaiah, they call him Emmanuel. The meaning of Joshua, the name of Joshua is Jehovah is salvation, the Lord is salvation. And the name of Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's part of that Holy Trinity as the Son of God. He's the root of Jesse, and he's the Savior God promised us, which is why God named him Joshua or Jesus, Jehovah our Savior. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I just wanted to show you where it says it. God with us. Jesus came down to this earth in a fleshly form over 2,000 years ago. He was with the apostles physically then. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again the third day. If you want to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, we'll see where he is now. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the upholding all, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus, after dying on the cross, after being risen from the dead, he walked on earth for 40 days. He was seen of 500 witnesses. At the end of those 40 days, with the apostles and disciples gathered around him, he rose up to heaven and is now sitting on the right hand of God. He sent his Holy Spirit down to abide within us. Jesus was with us on earth physically, walked with the apostles 2,000 years ago, and now he's with us, Emmanuel, with us again in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He's abiding us. He's walking within our hearts. It's a blessing to have such a beautiful Savior and have such a beautiful name that we're able to call him by. Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Lord our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of gathering together, Lord, to open your word and to read it, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be able to look at your names, Lord, and to see the beauty in them, to see the power in them, to see the magnificence of your name, Lord. Help us to praise you for that, Lord. Help us to understand you just a little bit more each day, Lord. Bless this time, Lord, and I ask you to bless this time of short invitation, Lord, and I ask you to guide it and direct it, Lord, as you give it to us. Lord, we love you, and I pray all these things in Jesus' name.